Well, good morning, everyone. Let's turn to Genesis and the chapter 6. We're still looking at the story of Noah and the ark that he built. We considered, by way of introduction, really, to the subject, how that it's a good subject for us to give thought to, because the Lord Jesus tells us that as it was in the days of Noah, the attitudes of the people, their turning of their back on God, their ignoring of the preaching of Noah, all these things will be repeated just before the Savior comes. Wickedness, violence, and a total disregard of the Word of God. The judgment of God was drawing nearer and nearer and nearer, but no one took any notice. Noah was warning specifically of what was going to happen, but nobody took any notice. There he was, building the ark. But nobody took any notice, so that when the flood came, everyone was caught out. Everyone was shocked, because they hadn't listened to God's word. They hadn't heard the warnings, took any heed of them, and were caught out. And that's how it's going to be in this world when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Except, of course, for those who heed the gospel, who believe the word of God. So as I say, it's a good portion of God's word for us to think about. But we're going a little further today, and I want you to notice that although we call it Noah's Ark, it wasn't his, because it was really the Lord's Ark. It was the Lord's Ark. Look at what verse 14 of chapter 6 says. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof with lower, second, and third stories, or what we would call decks, levels, shalt thou make it. Now the point to be noticed there is that God was the one who conceived, thought of the ark. He designed it and told Noah how it should be built. It was God's ark. Noah was the shipbuilder, but it was God who planned the ark. It was God who planned the ark. He designed it. He was the architect. Noah was the builder. Now you will see a number of things about the ark that, since they're given to us in the Bible, God wants us to notice. God never says anything that is not of importance. Any information God gives you in the Bible, you're to take note of it. You're to take note of it. Now when we're doing a bit of gabbing among ourselves, there's an awful lot that is said that's of no importance whatsoever. No importance whatsoever. But that is not the way with God. Every word of God is good and profitable and will bless us as we look at it, study it, consider it, obey it. So, let's just see what it says. Let's first of all notice that the ark was to be made of gopher wood. Gopher wood. Now, great men who study these things, who study Hebrew very closely, would suggest to us that that particular tree was likely the tree that we know as the cypress tree. It became a tree that was common in shipbuilding out in the Middle East. It was a durable wood, very suitable for life on the ocean. So God picked a special wood, one that would stand up to the strains that the ark was going to face in the greatest storm that has ever taken place in this earth. It wouldn't rot or corrupt, and it would very much resist water getting in, and it would be waterproof. So, God picked the wood. Then, notice that God designed the ark for the comfort and the well-being of those who were going to be in it. Look there again at the words that we find in the verse 14. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark. Now that word rooms is in other places translated by the word nest. Nest. Now, in our homes, we have different rooms, haven't we? We have a bedroom. We have likely a sitting room. We have a kitchen. We have a bathroom. And they're all designed to serve different purposes. Sitting room, well, you don't stand in it. You sit in a sitting room. Kitchen, well, that's the place where food is prepared. Bathroom, well, that's where you wash your face. Bedroom, well, that's where you go to bed. So God called the rooms in the ark by a name that in the Hebrew means a nest. I think that's terrific. There's none of us who have ever seen anything of little birds in their nests. Used to be, when I was younger, it used to be a great thing to go out nest hunting. And you would walk the roadways, the fields, and you would watch birds flying into the hedge, and you would notice the spot. And then carefully and quietly you would sneak up and see if you could find a nest there. You were careful never to touch it or disturb it, because that could frighten the mother bird off, that she would abandon the nest and abandon the eggs in it, or if the eggs were hatched, abandon the chicks in it. So you didn't do that, but you did have a look at it. And I must confess that when we think back to those days and you looked into a nest, and there it was, beautifully made, attached to the little branches that on which it was sitting, because the structure of the nest, the straw and whatever else it was made of, it was woven in around the branches so that it was solid. And though the hedge would have been tossed about by the wind, the nest, it was as solid as a rock. Didn't fall out of the branch, because the wee mother bird had made it so. But inside the nest, beautifully rounded, beautifully shaped, no jagged bits or edges, as round as you could desire. And it was lined. It was lined. Sometimes it's clear the wee bird had gone and found some sheep's wool. Now you might lie on sheep's wool in your bed, because people have found it to be very comfortable to have a layer of sheep's wool on the mattress. Well, we birdies knew all that long, long ago. And mother would have little bits of sheep's wool woven into the sides of the nest, and then as well as that, feathers. Oftentimes, her own feathers. She'd pluck out her own feathers to make the nest soft. And they were soft, because later in the year you would find an abandoned nest. And I was one of many, I'm sure, who would have poked in it and found how soft it was. And it was comfortable and warm and protected those little birds. And God called the rooms in the ark nests. And those rooms, designed by God for Noah and his family and also for the animals, were to be nests, place of safety, place of comfort, place of security in the ark. Does it not show the love of God, the consideration of God? He thought about the comfort of his people. He thought about the comfort of the creatures, the animals. And that reveals to us the kind, loving heart of God. Kind, loving heart of God. All that he has planned for his people is for their good, is for their comfort, is for their well-being. You can never doubt that God's will for his people is for their good. Oh, oftentimes when God tells us to do things, we argue and we think, no, that'll not be very nice. I'd rather do something else. But we're wrong. What God is telling us to do is absolutely for our best. And that kindness of God is illustrated for us here in the design of the ark. In it there were nests. Because God was thinking of the well-being and of the comfort of his people. Another thing about the ark, it was stormproof. Stormproof. Now, when you think of a big ship, maybe you're thinking of something like the Titanic. You know, pointed, graceful bows, slim. That's what we think of big ships today. But the ark wasn't like that. The ark wasn't like that. You see, the ark wasn't meant to travel on a big journey through the ocean. The ark was designed to float, carried by the currents and by the winds. But it was designed to be as stable as possible in the midst of a tremendous storm. Those slim, beautifully designed and sleek liners of today, you would be as sick as a dog on them in a storm if they hadn't, in more recent years, invented what they call stabilizers. These are structures on the ship that help to keep it from rocking about by the motion of the waves. I remember talking to some lads who, many years ago, went on a fishing boat from Northern Ireland over to Canada. They shot a little film during the voyage, and I remember seeing it. And it was most interesting, boys and girls. Because there they were, standing, leaning on the edge of the deck, you know, and smiling for the camera. And up behind them would rise and go out of the picture a huge wall of water. And they were still smiling. And then down again would come this huge wall of water and disappear. Of course, what it was the huge waves on the ocean. And the wee boat, you see, was up and down, and when it went down, there was a huge wave behind them, and then up and down. Well, they told me at the beginning of it, they were as sick as dog. And even sailors, well used to the sea, if they're away from sailing for a while and go back to it, they're subject to awful sickness, and seasickness is amongst the worst forms of sickness that you can ever suffer. That's why they have to fit these stabilizers to the huge ocean ships, because people who are going on just for a 2-week or 3-week cruise and are not used to sailing, if they were on a boat that wasn't stabilized, well, it would be 2 weeks, 3 weeks of utter misery. Now, God designed the ark to be stable. It likely, you know, was more or less just like a big flat box, only it was very big. But it sat in the water solid, and was not subjected to the degree of movement that a modern ship would. It would just have sat there, and the waters would have broken out over it, but it would have stayed there. It would have risen and fallen, doubtless, with the waves, but it wouldn't have been pitched about the way a modern ship would be pitched about. That was God's doing. That was God's doing, because he was thinking of the well-being of his people and those within the ark, the animals, etc. Now, as I say, it was stormproof. I'm going to just hint at one particular point. I'm going to come back to it again. Do you see where it says in the verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood, room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without. Now, I would suggest to you that pitch that is talked about is a substance, in essence, like that which is on our roads, the tar. Men discovered you mix tar and stones, etc., etc., and it makes a very good surface on a road. Well, here and there throughout the world, there are places where this pitch is bubbling up. It's a bit like a well or a little lake, and there's the pitch, and men made use of it. And I have no doubt that that's exactly what the Lord was telling Noah to do with the ark. Pitch it within and without. So it was doubly sealed against the storm. Doubly sealed. Oh, boys and girls, God's salvation is absolutely sure. There's no possibility of the ship of salvation springing a leak and sinking. But here's something I want you to particularly notice, and with this I'll have to close. You see this word pitch? The English word that's translated there, pitch. Well, behind that is a Hebrew word. And that Hebrew word is translated in most other places in the Old Testament by the word atonement. Isn't that funny? Atonement. Now I want you to think about it. You old ones in particular, think about it. You see, in an atonement, a covering is made for sin. A covering is made for sin. And this pitch was like an atonement. It covered the ark within and on the outside. What did God see when he looked down on the ark? Pitch. What did Noah and his family see when they looked up? Pitch. If your sins have been covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, when God looks down, he sees the atonement. Doesn't see your sin. He sees the atonement. And you know, as a Christian, when you're troubled about your sin, and you're troubled about what God sees, and you look up, what do you see? The atonement covering you. So that God's view and the Christian's view of their sin is one of the blood that covers our sin. What a comfort and a joy that is. And that's why I have no doubt that this Hebrew word that is here translated by the word pitch is elsewhere translated by the word atone. Noah and his family was sailing in a boat, covered, and secured by this pitch. Let me ask you, are you covered today by the precious blood of the Lamb? As you travel through life and the storms of life, and as you travel out into eternity, as you will one day, will you be covered in the blood that will hide your sins forever? Let's bow together in prayer. Lord, we pray that you will be pleased today to write your word on hearts. We ask for your blessing upon every boy and girl. Give them understanding. Help them to visualize. Help them, Lord, to picture in their mind they are covered. And may they seek, if they do not know Christ as their Savior, may they seek to be covered by the blood of the Lamb. Answer prayer now and bless the school this day for Jesus' sake. Amen.